Hi, Fred. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And Janice, right?
Nancy.
Who am I thinking of? Good to have you here. So, some of you have heard Glenn Middleton speak. Glenn Middleton, the pastor from Sturgis, Michigan, tells this wonderful story of the time that he went to share about Jesus with a prostitute on the street. And she thought he was a police officer. And she took off running across the parking lot. And he took off chasing after her. Eventually, Glenn, with his long legs, caught up to the prostitute and tackled her. And they went rolling through the parking lot. And she came up with a scraped face. And he says, "I just want to tell you about Jesus." At that point, she surrendered. And she listened. And the following Sunday morning, in walks a tall, beautiful woman in a white dress and a beautiful hat and set herself in the front row with her scraped up cheek. And she gave her life to Jesus. And she surrendered. Are you surrendered? Do you live a surrendered life daily? In this time of economic turmoil and questions, Stephen Harper and the conservatives were returned to government. Barack Obama and the Democrats lead a revolution of change. And yesterday, around our province, many different cities, all the cities, I guess, elected new leaders. And in Vancouver, with $200,000 of gambling money at their disposal, Vision Vancouver swept to victory, with the councillor getting the more votes than anyone else, being the same councillor that introduced the motion for a casino in our neighborhood here. Yet this progressive party is committed to ending homelessness and is trying to decide if brothels are the right answer for caring for prostitutes. Let me assure you, our political parties can build a house for every homeless person there is now. But unless the citizens of our city surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, they'll never build them fast enough to keep up with the flood of broken lives in our city. People will continue to break their vows of marriage. They will continue to exploit the weak, to steal from their neighbors, and the resulting brokenness and addiction will continue to grow in our city. Our communities need Jesus. Our communities need you and I to share Jesus with them. The kingdom of God is growing. The kingdom of God is spreading. It's like a treasure. The kingdom of God is. It's worth every asset you have. It's like a magnificent wedding banquet that the royal king has invited us to participate in. The kingdom of God is like a huge fishing net that he is letting down and catching all different kinds of people and bringing them to himself. The kingdom of God is like yeast that we mix into a batch of dough in our bread, and it grows and grows and grows. If you receive the kingdom of God in your life, it will take over ever increasing areas of your life. The kingdom of God is like a seed that has power inside. It sprouts and it grows all by itself, even if we don't understand what's going on. Even if we can't quite explain what's going on. Regardless of the weeds that are surrounding, it is an illuminating light. It's an agent that affects everything. And the kingdom is forcefully advancing, and forceful people lay hold of it. The good news of Jesus' victory over sin and death is liberating an ever-increasing number of captives. Did you hear that? Isn't that good news? The good news that Jesus has victory over sin and death is liberating an ever-increasing number of captives. people who have been held captive behind these walls of sin are now hearing the good news about Jesus Christ's deliverance, and they are surrendering to His love and to His freedom. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. As we read in Colossians 2 weeks ago, the kingdom of God, the good news about Jesus, is bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit of righteous living. It's bearing the fruit of depth of understanding of Him. The kingdom is growing in numbers and in influence by those who have understood God's grace. Among those who have understood God's grace are undeserved favor upon us. His favor, undeserved, given to us. And in light of God's grace being understood by us at West Coast Christian Fellowship, God has been speaking to us in these days. God has been speaking to us about our lives, and He's saying, I'm calling you, like I always have, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Let the kingdom be your priority. As we heard from Mike Pedrosa last week, he's calling us to, like Jonah, come out from the hole down below, our lonely, dark hiding place, and answer the call of God on our life. Answer His call on our lives and say, yes, Lord, I will go. I will proclaim. I will speak. I will be employed by You. God is speaking to us. And this morning when we were across the other building praying, Judy Whitley shared something that God spoke to her. And I want her to share that with us now too.
Or this little pile on the floor, and they were trying to light it and with a match. And what this pile was a pile of ashes. And they were trying to light it and kind of... And a scripture came to mind as I was picturing that. And it's in Psalm 40. It says, burnt offerings and sin offerings You did not require. I desire to do Your will, O my God. And this person was just trying to offer something to God that was already dealt with. And what God was after was their ear being pierced, being a servant and wanting to do God's will.
And God is speaking to us today that what He's after is a people wanting to do His will. Not sacrifices and offerings. Not going back once again to light the same fire, to once again sacrifice the same thing. But an obedient people who follow. The message today is, are you living a surrendered life? If ever there was a day that we represent the people of thorny ground, it's today. The parable that Jesus told of the good seed that God the Father comes and sows in His kingdom. Some of it falls on people who are just too busy with the cares of this world. And what He sows is received, it takes root, it starts to grow, but it's choked out by all the cares of this world and the busyness of life and the deceitfulness of money, said Jesus. If ever that represents God's people in North America, it's now. And so God's word to us this morning is surrender. Stop running like that prostitute and surrender. and listen. What is it that is in our life? The performing arts group comes to share with us, shake it loose. Just shake it loose. Whatever it is that's holding you back from God's kingdom, shake it loose. Whatever it is that's stopping you from moving forward in the kingdom, shake it loose. Is it your pride? Is it your fear? Is it your timidity? Shake it loose. Let's listen to them now.
Everything that binds you up.
Wow, that was great. Excellent. Ushers, don't let them stay outside too long. We need them in here for the sermon, eh? All right. Shake yourself loose. Whatever binds you up, break it off. You know, the enemy does bind us up, doesn't he? Satan binds us up with fear. He binds us up with pride. He binds us up with the love of temporary things. And God's encouragement, you know, just let those words that the performing arts team gave us, let them soak in. Let it be a prophetic call that breaks us free. In fact, let's just respond to the Lord now, shall we? Let's just pray. Father, you know what binds us up. You know what strongholds and bondages we have in our life that we're not even aware of. Would you break it free, Lord? And we say, with the authority of the name of Jesus, you demonic powers, leave us be in Jesus' name. You strongholds that are trying to confuse us, that are trying to hold us down, get out of our lives in Jesus' name. Father, you are our life. Jesus, you are our Savior. Lord, we live in the land of thorns and thistles and busyness and deceitfulness of wealth. We live in the land of the cares of this world. Deliver us. Set us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking, John chapter 15. We'll just read the first part of the passage here. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch thrown away that withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus' words in verse 16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit. You did not choose Jesus, he chose you. We did not choose him, he appointed us for a purpose of bearing fruit. All that we have in this life is temporary. He appointed us for eternity. This past week, Charlie Whitley and I had the privilege of being at the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. And so many practical things were talked about how to share Jesus with people around us. But throughout the different speakers that we heard, there was one part that just kept coming back to me. Because 2 weeks ago, when we closed our meeting with Seek First the Kingdom, the following that night, the elders encouraged me that that's something God wants to focus on. We need to come back to that. God's calling us to commitment. So I had that in my mind already going to this conference. And then at this conference, speaker after speaker after speaker kept talking about surrendered lives to Jesus. What's it mean to be surrendered to Jesus? And one speaker in particular was very helpful in speaking about what's happened in the last 50 to 100 years in North America. And we've replaced the thinking about surrender with words of commitment. So we often talk about making a commitment to Jesus. Or we talk about, are you committed to Jesus? But there's a big difference between a decision to do something for Jesus or to surrender to what he's doing to us. We didn't choose him. He chose us for purpose. But we like to sit in the driver's seat. We like to control. We like to have it on our terms. And I just felt like God wants to start this morning. Let me put it this way. In this series that we're starting in about the kingdom growing and being fruitful, one of the things that God wants to start with, which sounds very obvious, is actually finding out if we're saved. You see, there's many, many people sitting in churches that won't be sitting in heaven. There's many, many people who have heard the good news of Jesus as a Savior, but never received the good news of Jesus as my Lord. Many, many people believe that Jesus did walk the face of this earth, had the sins of the world put upon him, crucified for our punishment, and they're thankful that he did that. But they've never received the fact that Jesus Christ was also buried and put away the life of sin. And that God accepted the sacrifice and raised him from the dead, appointing him as judge and Lord over all. That in his name, everyone would bow and say, "Your Lord." So many people look up and say, "Thank you, Jesus." But so many don't bow and say, "Your Lord." What's the testimony of Scripture? We heard last week about Jonah. Jonah was running, and God yet found him. And Jonah surrendered to the appointment of his life. Moses. It wasn't that Moses made a commitment to lead the people of Israel. It wasn't that he rallied and was elected as a political leader, like we see in our nations today. Moses, the scripture says, was the humblest man on the face of the earth. And when God appeared to him in a burning bush, he says, "I can't talk. You want me to be the leader of this nation? I stutter. I've got a speech problem. Go get my brother. He's a good speaker. He'll do fine in front of the camera. God says, no, you go. What did Moses do? He surrendered to the call in his life. And for 40 years, he walked humbly with the rebellious people. And he bore their burdens. And he bore their shame. And he walked with them through thick and thin, seeing the miracles, but seeing their resulting rebellion anyway. And his identity was with the place that God called him, in spite of that shame, and in spite of what it cost him dearly. But he was surrendered. Think of the crowd at Pentecost that saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Peter preached to, that Peter uncovered for them their guilt and how it is that we are the ones who crucified Jesus. And they said, I surrender. What must I do to be saved? Peter's answer was not, just enjoy life. Jesus died for you. Peter's answer was, turn around from where you're going now and follow Jesus. Repent and follow. How was it that they entered into the kingdom? By leaving behind and by following. You can't follow out of commitment. Out of commitment, you can decide, I'm going to go here and do this for God. Come on, God, let's go take the world. Like the Philistines, taking their little gods with them for good luck charms wherever they went. So many churchgoers take their fish label on the back of their car, or their cross necklace, or their Bible verse pasted on the wall, hoping that their God comes with them and blesses them in their decisions, in their plans, in their education, in their choice, as they go where they know best, asking God to bless. You won't see them in heaven. That's not shock treatment. You won't see them in heaven. Heaven is for those who enter one way through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes except through me. How do you enter? There's a cross. How did Jesus enter? There was a cross, and there was a burial, and there was a resurrection life. How do you enter? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must, one, deny himself, two, take up his cross, three, follow me. There's only one way to come after Jesus. It's to say no to me. It's to say no to me. And to take up that cross. That means to allow me to be put to death. My priorities, my decisions, my future, not just one time, but Jesus said, and daily, follow me. Let's read it from, you can just write this down for the future. But from Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 27, Jesus put it this way. He said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? The beautiful thing about the economic crisis right now is that so many more people have less that they have to give up. You know, I was thinking, if I had a candy bar this morning, and I had put a candy bar in a little bag, and I said, okay, guys, this candy bar is for anyone who's willing to hand over everything in your pocket and put it here. I'll guarantee you the kids would be here, because there's nothing in their pocket. But if you've got a 50 tucked in your pocket, you wouldn't be here, because that candy bar is only worth 50 cents. But the good news about the kingdom is, there's lots and lots of stories that say, actually, the kingdom is like the most precious pearl. It's like a treasure that somebody hid in a field. It's worth so much that whatever your assets are, all of your financial well-being, as well as all of your personal goals and skills and futures, it's worth all of that. But right now, the world is more open than they used to be, because there's so much less to lose. Why is it that during a time of great disaster, when a hurricane comes through or a tornado wipes things out, that people are so much more in each other's lives, helping one another, taking care, and in the midst of all that stress and trouble, they have a blast? Communities say, we became friends during this time. We got to know one another during this time. We got close to each other during this time. You hear that over and over when there's a disaster. I remember a story that Willie Lee told me watching the Hurricane Katrina, and how they said that the first people on the scene to help were the street people. They hadn't lost anything. Everybody else was scurrying around trying to save what they had to save. The street people had nothing to lose. And they just went around helping everybody save their stuff. They were free to go. When you surrender, you're so free. It's good news. When you let it go, you can just follow Jesus. It's so much easier. But when you sit as king, trying to decipher all the options, and then, with my little brain, making the right choice, that is so stressful. If you let it go and just follow Jesus, He'll lead Aidan Poulter this way. He'll lead John Harab this way. He'll lead Linda Wooding this way. And He'll give you the right choices. He makes the choice. And you'll be blessed. In fact, the disciples were asking Jesus about rich people, because Jesus has said some pretty difficult things about how hard it is for wealthy people to make these kind of decisions. And the disciples got to thinking about that, and they said, Jesus, now, we kind of left everything to follow you, didn't we? I mean, Dad had a fishing business. My brother and I were due to inherit it. We let it go to walk around for the last 3 years with you. And Jesus answered them in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, He said, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. What do we get? Don't you worry. 100 times over in this life and eternal life. Well, I don't know any Christians with 100 houses. I do. Anywhere I go in the world, I can meet another Christian and wind up at his house for dinner. Right? Anywhere you travel, you can meet another Christian and spend the night. You've got thousands of homes among the believers. 100 times over, we have family everywhere. Brothers and sisters, oh, I'm an only child. I didn't have any relatives. Yes, you do. Jesus is the one who had natural relatives and said, forget that. The people who do my will are my family. That's what he was really excited about. Hey, Jesus, your mom and your brother and sisters are out there. What? Yeah, whatever. But you guys are my family. You're who I want to hang out with. God bless you if that includes your natural family as well. But with or without your natural family, the kingdom of God is awesome. Hanging out with his people is wonderful. They're the gracious ones. They're the loving ones. I didn't say churchgoers. The believers.